Hello and welcome to The Ordinary Knitter, the podcast that's mostly about the projects. This week, From Despair to Delight with Rosie Garmandia's Capitan Hat, the To the Sea project, maybe possible knit-along, casting on for big projects and the best motivation to lose weight. Hello and welcome to episode 23 of The Ordinary Knitter. I think it's going to be a shorter episode today for a variety of reasons, including the fact that I've picked up a cold and a cough and all the rest of it, so you're not going to want to listen to too much of this, and I'm not going to want to talk too much like this. Well, believe that if you will. From Despair to Delight with Rosie Garmandia's Capitan Hat. This is the a cabled cosy hat with a brim that I had settled on. A brim was a vital part of any hat that I knitted because I just looked too silly without one. I wanted to use a chunky yarn that I have. It's the Aldi's Kirkton House chunky wool, and it's a 20% wool, 80% of, you know, acrylic or something, and I can cope with that. It doesn't prickle too badly on my head. I've got quite a lot of hair to protect me, but it's brown. It was the right colour. It was the right sort of heaviness of weight because I wanted something quite chunky. I wasn't looking for a fine item. And this pattern just fitted the bill in every regard. It was a free Ravelry download. So I started this. I've never, well, you know, I had all the hassle recently with the ladybird hat. That's the first time that I can think of. Or maybe not the first hat that I've knitted, but the first hat I've knitted since I would describe myself as maybe understanding what I'm doing. So that's fine. I went through all the hoops. And I think I had said before that once I'd made the hat part, because you pick up for the brim separately, so I did the hat part, tried it on, and I'd had a suspicion that it was going to be too short in the crown, and that was borne out when I put it on. But because of the way that you knit it, because you start round the brim, or around the edge, you know, the big edge, you don't start at the crown, well, I'm sure some people would have worked out how to continue and do more cables from their cast on edge, but I'm not that good. So my solution was to pull the whole thing out and start again, which is exactly what I did, but I added an additional set of cables, which gave it just that extra bit of length. So that bit was fine. Then it came to sorting out the brim. Relatively straightforward. The only thing I would say is that because once you have started pulling stitches around for cable, it can be quite difficult to see clearly exactly what stitch is from where, and you pick up for the brim basically from the outer edge of one of the centre cables to the outer edge of the other centre cable. You've got four cables down the front, so your picking up stitches for the brim goes from the outer edges of the two centre cables. I think it might have been useful, the instructions, to have suggested placing markers for those stitches, because when you've, by the time you've done your cable round a few rows further on, and the stitches have started to get pulled, and of course you've got your a couple of purl stitches between the cables, it can be quite difficult to actually see what's going on where, and precisely where your knit stitches for the edge of the cable appear on your cast on edge. If it was a simple rib, that would be much easier, but because the stitches get pulled and twisted with the cable and all the rest of it, I just found it quite tricky. I did in the end succeed, but it occurred to me at the time that if when you were casting on, or when you first did your first proper round after cast on, to have placed markers there for the full extent of the 14 stitches that you were going to pick up for the cap, that would just have been one of those little hacks that would have made it, just saved yourself a few minutes, made it a little bit less like guesswork, or not so much guesswork, just that concern that perhaps you haven't put the stitches in quite the right place. In the end, what I did was I started a couple of stitches before where I wasn't sure, and I finished a couple of stitches after the point where I wasn't sure, and then once I'd got them all on the needle, I sort of had 16 or 17 stitches. I had a really good look, worked it all out, and then I was able just to pull out the few that I didn't need. So I cast on my stitches, followed all the instructions for knitting the first part of the brim, and then you come to, on the knit side, you come to a purl row, which meant nothing to me. I mean, obviously I could, technically I could execute it, but I had no idea why that had happened. And then I continued with the shaping of the brim, got to the end and thought, well, that's weird. I've got this weird floppy thing with a row of purl in the middle and it comes down to my nose. How does that work? We've had an awful lot going on recently at home. I won't bore you with it, but just about every type of complication and difficulty that could have come up has come up lately. And I think I probably just wasn't applying as much straight thinking as I might have done, because the solution is actually incredibly simple. Anyway, I didn't realise that. I thought, I just don't understand it, you know. It hasn't worked out, and of course, because it's stocking stitch, bloody brim's rolling. Why is that? It doesn't roll in the picture with the pattern. And I just thought, ugh. And I was showing it to a knitter friend of mine on Friday evening. And now, she's never knitted this type of project either. So the incredibly simple thing that I hadn't done, which solved everything, didn't occur to her either, because she'd never sort of dealt with this sort of thing before. But she did make a good suggestion. In other circumstances, it would have been a very good suggestion, which is that because you pick up your stitches for the brim, she said, could you just rip the brim out and research a different type of brim? And I thought, yes, that's brilliant. That's exactly what I'm going to do. So that was Friday. So on Sunday, I was sat down on the sofa surrounded by yarn and pattern holders and knitting bag, and I was a pig in clover, to be honest. And I thought, right, now is a good time to research this brim. So I googled knitting a hat brim, and this particular video came up. I'll put the link in the show notes. It's called, amazingly, How to Add a Brim to Your Knitted Hat, and it's by a YouTube channel called Pleasant Seas, S-E-A-S. And she started off in exactly the same way. She picked up the same number of stitches, she shaped in the same way, and she put the purl row across the front. And I realised that it was the same method, obviously, you know, I realised pretty quickly that it was the same method that I had used. And I thought, well, I've got to watch this, because I've got to see why I did what I did and it went wrong, and she's doing the same thing, and clearly it doesn't go wrong. And it was when she said about knitting the purl row, she said, this helps you to turn the brim. Suddenly the penny just clanged into place. And what I hadn't done is I simply hadn't folded the part of the brim that you have flopping around after you've knitted the purl row is just the bit that you fold under, and you sew it shut against the point where you picked up all the stitches for the brim. So all you're doing is you're folding it in half. This big thing that was flopping down to my nose, I just had to fold it under. So stupid, honestly, what a complete idiot. So I didn't need to watch to the end, because at that point I was just like, ugh. So you can stiffen the brim at that point if you want. You can stick some cardboard in it, or you can stick some plastic from a milk bottle, a supermarket milk bottle, something like that. But actually, I haven't needed to do it. The design is really very clever. The instructions in the pattern, if you have knitted a brim before, the phrase, she set the phrase along the lines of knit the open end of the brim flat, or something along those lines. When you've knitted a brim, you think, yeah, of course, that's what you do. To somebody who had never done anything like this before, I just really didn't understand what she meant. And I thought perhaps she meant knitting the furthest wide reaches of the brim which do slightly, or basically the edge of the brim where it goes to the hat, there's a little bit of extra that you can actually sew flat against your cast on edge, your original cast on edge of the hat. That's what I thought that meant. And in fact, that isn't what it means, but I still think that's quite a good thing to do, because I think the extra little bit of tension that introduces into the brim helps to give it, I think, a bit more, rigid is too strong, but for want of a better word, a little bit more rigidity. So that was my light bulb moment. I sewed the brim, I folded it in half and sewed it flat, and I absolutely loved it. It's still a little bit pointy on the crown, but I think I've brought that on myself because I've knitted the extra cables, because I wanted that extra depth to the hat. I want to be able to sort of tuck it over my ears and right back down to the back of my neck. So I'm hoping that would relax a bit in time. The hat also has a strip that goes across the front, and it sort of goes at the base of the cables. She says in the pattern that you can block that lightly if you want to. Now, I didn't, because I'm not great at blocking if I don't have to, as you may have picked up along the line, particularly in the context of baby knitting. But on this occasion, I think that would have been a sound move. I didn't do it, and I ended up having to sew a couple of stitches in the midway at the top and bottom edges of the strip just to batten it down, because it was wanting to curl under. So that would be my recommendation. I haven't bothered with the buttons because I don't feel the need, but you could, and who knows, I might change my mind at some point and add one. So I was so excited about this hat and the fact that it hadn't gone wrong after all, and that it had turned out exactly as I'd wanted. I mean, maybe this says an awful lot about my cack-handedness as a knitter, but really, when you're knitting something for yourself, how often does it turn out exactly how you wanted? And I was so excited that I skipped out to the garage where my husband and my father-in-law were hard at work with something, and I said, look, it did work after all. And my son immediately whipped it off my head and stuck it on his own and said, I really like this, can I have one? So I found some yarn. I haven't got very much really chunky yarn. Normally it's not my favourite type of yarn. I do normally like finer items, but for this hat, chunky was the way to go. And I found some which my mother had passed to me. I don't know where she'd picked it up. Larry doesn't really cover it. It's a very highly variegated, as in any stretch of any one colour is no more than 2 or 3 inches. And steel yourself, it's purple and red and a bluey grey. It looks like he's got little red worms all over the hat, but that's the one he wanted. That's fine. That's a King Cole multi-chunky, and that's 25% wool and 75% acrylic. He decided that was the colour he wanted. The only other chunky I had was black, which I didn't feel was really appropriate for a 7-year-old. I also had some more brown, but don't think he was very excited about that either. So that was Sunday night, Sunday afternoon, and I decided just to get on with it. So I cast on for it on Sunday, and I got it finished yesterday afternoon while I was waiting at school, waiting for them to come out. So that didn't take long at all, and he absolutely loves it. You know, I'm never going to take it off again, and so on and so forth. And although I try not to show his face too clearly in any images, if you want to see a picture of that, there is one on my Ravelry project page for the Capitan hat, and I may well put the picture on Ravelry as well. And there's a picture of me wearing the hat on the Instagram account as well, if you wanted to have a look at it. So I was just really delighted that ultimately it worked out just great. As I've mentioned before, I often knit when my son is having a swimming lesson, and usually I'm the only one. So imagine my absolute delight when the other day I realised that the person next to me had her knitting needles out. And so I asked her what she was knitting, and she was knitting a shawl, which is the thing that everyone's knitting at the moment, and we were having a bit of a chat about that. And it turns out that she's also very good at crochet. She crochets as much as she knits. So that's great. It's always good to know that. I've said before that crochet at the moment is one of my frontiers. If I have a pattern, well, if I'm looking at patterns and one of them has a crochet element, at the moment I avoid it. Not because I don't want to crochet, it's just at the moment I don't really want to be practicing, I suppose. I don't want to be at square one. If a project is something that essentially I think I can do, I don't then want to feel like I'm blundering around with the crochet, sort of spoiling this project, which otherwise I'm very happy with. So we had a really good old natter. She was very nice, and it's great to know that I've got some resources for when it comes to crochet. She's clearly very enthusiastic about it. She was talking about various different types of crochet and the sorts of things that she's made. I don't know about you, but I tend to associate crochet more with summery projects. Now, that's probably just a misconception on my part. To me, you know, knitting's about your heavy yarns and your this and that. Crochet, I feel, is more about making lighter garments. So much of my knitting is garments. So anyway, that was nice, and I hope she's there this afternoon. It would be really nice to have another chat with her. I was listening to Tracy Perry's Question and Answer podcast the other day, as I always listen to that one. And they were talking about joining to knit in the round. You cast on and then you join to knit in the round. And so often you can twist your stitches. Now, I've done this more times than I care to count. So what I do now is in fact what was mentioned in the answer, which is to knit, if you can, if the pattern allows for it, to knit your first few rows flat. And then once it's very obvious which way your stitches are hanging, then you can join to knit in the round. And all you need to do when you come to make up your item, as you know, you would weave in your yarn tail anyway, and you can use that yarn tail just to seam your inch or your whatever it is of knitting that's in the flat rather than in the round. And I do this as standard now when I have, especially if I have lots of stitches, if I have to join to knit in the round, that's my standard approach now. It works very well for me. I would really recommend it. And on a related note, I posted a picture of this on Instagram the other day and got a few comments. I started knitting the To The Sea jumper. This is replacing the one that I made last year and ruined in the tumble dryer. This is for my husband. And because I have to make the largest size for him, I have to cast on 203 stitches, which in itself is fine. I don't mind doing that. But you can imagine what it's like counting, you know, and checking that you've got the right number of stitches. That's just going to be a bit of a nightmare. So what I do is I cast on 25, I double check that there are 25, and then I place a marker, and I keep going for as long as I need to, and then I know that all I have to do is count in 25s, and I'm fine. That the key for me is the double checking that I've got 25 before I place the marker, and then I know I can rely on that counting, and that makes it much, much easier. So if anybody wants to knit along with me, I can recommend the To The Sea jumper. That is, it's a drops design. That's another free Ravelry download, and it's knit in an Aran weight, and I'm using cream. I'm making an exact duplicate of last year's, but without the screw up over where to place the armholes. I'm going to get that right this time. I would like to get that done. I'd like to get that finished within the next 4 to 6 weeks. And as I was talking about before, I'm going to intersperse that with small projects to save my sanity and to save the podcast, and so that as time goes on, I don't have to lug around a completely enormous jumper everywhere I go. And even though I'm only about 4 inches into this jumper, I'm already thinking about the next one, because I've got all this Blue Marl yarn. It's the same yarn I used for the Lawrence jumper. There we go. Lawrence Claxon. No podcast is complete without a mention of the Lawrence jumper. So the one I'm looking at, my husband wants a roll neck again, although that's pretty simple. You could take a jumper that had a crew neck and you could make it into a roll neck pretty effortlessly. But nonetheless, the pattern that I have found that I fancy the look of is yet another Drops design. Some of their women's jumpers are horrifying, especially the very 80s ones that have massive batwing sleeves and huge patterns all over them. But they have some very nice, quite subtle men's jumpers. And there's one that I quite fancy called, well, as it has an E on the end, I presume you're meant to pronounce it Winter Ballad, but I'm going to call it Winter Ballad. I don't know what makes it a ballad, but again, it looks like a nice, hearty, fisherman's type jumper, but it's not shapeless. It's got some quite interesting detail. I don't actually know what you would call the type of stitch that you've got on the sort of lower 3/5 of the jumper. So, well, no doubt when I come to it, I'll be talking a bit more about gnashing my teeth over how to work that. But I quite like the look of that. So those are the next two. But at the moment, I'm wondering if I'm actually going to be able to do as much knitting as I would like to, because I've got a very, very achy left thumb. As I've mentioned over the last couple of episodes, I've managed to change my technique so that I have the yarn sort of running through my fingers. And that's obviously a much easier, here's me waving my arms around again, that's obviously a much easier technique, it's less effort, and the point also is that I'm not now graunching my index finger top knuckle, which has a Hebden's node on it, I'm not graunching that against the needles, which I was doing before, and which was, I felt, was a bit of a recipe for disaster. This achiness has started since I've been doing that, and I can only imagine it's to do with how I'm holding the work with my left hand. And really, it's not apparent to me that how I hold the work has changed, but I feel something must have changed for this to be happening. And in fact, yesterday it was so bad that I almost had a sort of like an electric-y pins and needles type sensation in it, even though at that point, sort of 9 o'clock at night, because we had a house full of people, I hadn't done any knitting for about 5 hours, and yet it suddenly really started up. And I have seen people wear a sort of a hand support, which I'm going to have to look into that, because if this carries on, that's going to materially interrupt my knitting, and obviously I can't have that. My daughter's socks were a success. She's been wearing them a lot. That's great. I'd love to do some more for her in a different colourway, this time with cream toe and heel and cuff and a blue foot and calf. But the prospect of using those horrible 3.75mm needles again really puts me off. These are the ones with the really thick cable, the really thick sort of, not sticky, but there's something about this cable. It really hangs onto the stitches. It causes a lot of friction, and that was a real pain. I wonder possibly if that's where I've maybe sensitized my thumb, because I really had to wrestle with that. So I did a bit of finding out, and it turns out that there is a set of 3.75mm tips for the Knit Pro Symphony set, so that's brilliant. And I've checked with Father Christmas actually, and Father Christmas is very happy to provide me with those this Christmas. So that's what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to bring this to a close because I'm horribly sniffy and croaky, but I just wanted to mention, I don't know about anybody else, but you know, I'd love to drop a few pounds, but I never succeed. But I was really taken by an Instagram post the other day from a user whose name is Polly Wants Another Cracker. She's a knitter, and she posted a picture of herself in this lovely cardigan. She looks absolutely $1 million in it. And she had to lose 8 kilos in order to fit into it. Now, when I started this podcast, I had just made myself a cardigan that turned out to be too small. And things could have been so different if, instead of giving it to my mum, I just thought, fine, well, I obviously just need to slim down until I can fit into it. I thought, well, you know, motivation, really. There you go. Wouldn't that be great? Well, thank you very much for putting up with my stuffed nose and my croaky throat. I hope next week when we chat again, I'll be clear as a bell. Enjoy your knitting. Bye.